there's this part of our service traditionally, right about here, where we like to celebrate what God is doing. And that's a good thing to do. And I thought one of the things we could do with that this morning is for me to respond to some of the questions I've been asked lately. Like, who on earth are you and what are you doing here? It's a good question. This idea of Malcolm being transitional pastor at Foster, I have to blame that idea on Nick. Nick and Jeanette were coming over for lunch with us one day. And as we sat down to lunch, Nick looked at me and he says, "You know, as we were driving over, I had this great idea." He says, "I don't know when I'm going to retire, but when I do, you'd be a great guy to be interim." And I have to confess to you that it was not an idea that I embraced with great enthusiasm at the time. Having gotten used to the idea of being retired and liking it, I wondered, you know, is this really something I want to do? But Nick, as Nick does, didn't ask me for an answer. You know what he asked me to do. You got it. So we prayed about it. And I suspect Nick and Jeanette were praying about it too. And as the Lord gave them the date, and he got back to me and basically said, "You know, it's time to start thinking about an answer." Well, I'm back to that song, you know. I was trying to find a good way to say no, Lord, and it wouldn't work. So I said yes. And here we are at the beginning of an adventure I think I'm going to enjoy, and I hope you do as well. Somebody asked me last week, "How did you get connected to Foster in the first place anyway?" And in one word, the answer to that question is prayer. Nick and I have been friends for probably a quarter of a century. First got acquainted at one of the early, probably the first, Pastor's Prayer Summit in the early 90s. And in the wake of that, there was a pastor's prayer group that started meeting in the library here. And I got to be a part of that. It's still happening here on Friday mornings now. It's been on Tuesday. It's been on Thursday. It's been at various times over the years. But it was that prayer group that first made me aware that this church existed. And then, after I resigned from the church I was serving, and in the wake of that, Joan, my first wife, was diagnosed with lymphoma. We showed up on a Sunday here to worship. It was a communion Sunday like this. And we just kind of slipped in to be part of the congregation. And Nick felt led that Sunday to surround us with prayer. And probably with some of you folks who were praying for us. We didn't expect that. But at that point, we were dealing with the reality of a new diagnosis and wondering what on earth that meant. And just beginning what would become a 5-year adventure of dealing with the realities of Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia. I used to joke with Joan that she was the only person around who could get a disease named for a Swede. The fact that you prayed was what started sinking my roots here. I'm pretty sure that none of you had any idea of how much that meant to us. But it did. Thank you for being a praying congregation. And as we begin this adventure, I have three words for you. Don't quit now. Maybe there are questions on your mind, and I think we can be informal enough just to open it up. Anything you're wondering about Malcolm? Or about Valerie? There are a lot of things I'm wondering about Valerie.
Do you like coconut?
Okay, let's get to dietary issues. In my corner of heaven, there will be no chocolate.
What? Oh.
And if there is, I will be sharing it with you. Of course, maybe there will be chocolate in my corner of heaven because Scripture says we shall be changed. There will be lemon. There will be lemon in my corner of heaven. When I was teaching, my last year of teaching, I was advisor to the senior class at a Christian school, and they were well aware of my weaknesses. And as each of those seniors came across the stage to receive their diploma and to shake my hand, each of them handed me a saran-wrapped lemon bar. Creative. You know, they started sort of overflowing the hands after a while. I was looking for a place to put them. I did learn in the wake of that that not all lemon bars are created equal, but... But that's okay. Their heart was in the right place. Coconut. That's okay. Other questions?
Butterscotch.
That works.
What part of town do you live?
Pardon?
Where do you live? What part of town?
Where do I live? Kent. We have a condo in the Riverview area of Kent, kind of on the west side of the valley. That condo was an answer to prayer? Yes.
So is your wife going to be part of Tuesday Bible study?
I'm glad you asked that question. In any church, there are as many expectations of the pastor's wife as there are people in the congregation.
Who told me that?
My wife is free to do whatever she wants to do regarding whatever else is going on in the church. So, I'm not sure what she's going to plug into. I leave that up to her, but thank you for the invitation.
I clean the kitchen.
But
I'm on the kitchen crew.
Seriously, I do want to make that clear. And I want to make it clear not just for Valerie's benefit, but more importantly, for the benefit of whoever your next pastor's wife is. Yes?
Valerie's also invited to the women's Bible study on Thursday. She chooses. Or not.
You can get her in youth group, too. Yeah.
There you go.
So this actually brings up another question I've been asked. Yes? Yes. I was born in England. Dad was English. Mom was Scottish. There's a part of my heart that is still Scottish. That's my heritage. Our family came over when I was 7 years old, the end of 1952. You can do the math. Primarily because both of my brothers had some health issues for which the London climate, which is not unlike the Seattle climate, was not good. I had aunts and uncles living in Southern California. So my folks, in midlife reduced their belongings to what would fit into two steamer trunks, and we headed off for the great adventure. I thought it was a great adventure. And came over to the United States on the Queen Elizabeth. That ship now, I think, sits at the bottom of Hong Kong Harbor. It sank several years ago. Its sister ship is tied up in Long Beach, the Queen Mary. And we began to discover what it was like to live in the United States. I remember getting off the plane in Los Angeles and seeing my first real-life palm trees. I remember my cousin, who is the same age I am. I mean, there's less than a month between us. Interestingly enough, he is also an interim pastor these days. Inviting me to join him and his friends for a game of football. And I eagerly agreed. Until I saw the shape of the ball.
Yeah.
And what on earth is this? And then figured out that you almost never get to kick the ball in a game called football. It took me years to figure out American football. It was part of culture shock, I think, that deeply affected me. Other questions? Yes.
Just two questions because I called them up. So one, it'd be great to hear your testimony of how you came to Jesus, and what's your favorite book in the Bible?
Oh, wow. The second one's tough because there are too many of them.
You have a favorite book in the Bible.
You know, my life verse keeps changing, depending on where I'm at in my life, I think. But let me start with question one. I came to Christ as a kid because God blessed me with a Christian family. I'm not sure what would have happened to me if he hadn't so blessed me. Because I grew up as, I was going to say stubborn, a strong-willed kid. That sounds a little better, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mallory's smiling. She thinks I'm still strong-willed.
I was thinking, what?
Watch the tense, Malcolm. Okay. Much of my life has been about transitions, and I don't particularly like them. You know, the moving to the United States from America was, or to America from England, was a big change. I remember when President Johnson invited me to serve in the United States Army. That was a big change. Getting married was a big change. Losing Joan was a big change. Losing Matt was a big change. Getting married to Valerie was a huge change.
And how long ago did that happen?
Pardon?
How long have you been married to Valerie? Remind us.
5 years. Last 5 years in May. So we're coming up on our 62nd anniversary this week. That's in months. You know, when you start late, you count months instead of years.
Okay.
And that was something that neither of us expected. But in the midst of all of those changes, what has not changed is the Lord, the rock. As a kid, I honestly don't remember a time when our family was not involved in church and Sunday school. My parents were involved in planting a Sunday school on Sunday afternoon in addition to church on Sunday morning. But I knew very, very clearly as a kid, a little kid, that didn't cut it for me. I knew me showing up at church was not my ticket to heaven. I knew I needed to accept Jesus. And because I was strong-willed, I resisted that. I can remember as a 4 or 5 year old getting up in the middle of the night, sneaking into my parents' bedroom to make sure Jesus hadn't come and taken them home and left me behind. That was how clearly I understood my need. The day came when my mother had what I hope was the joy for her of leading me to the Lord and helping me to invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Can't give you a date when that happened, but I know it did. If that bothers you, by the way, not remembering a date, most of you don't remember the date you were physically born either. But there is no doubt. There is no doubt. Favorite verse? Wow.
Present.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. There are so many. Let me go to a couple of them, okay? I'll limit myself. Philippians 4, the passage that begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always." By the way, it's a passage that begins after Paul encouraging that church to get over bickering. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." I am still learning that. I don't know if you've got that mastered yet, but I'm still in school on that one. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That passage is one of the reasons I'm glad you are a praying church.
Over to you, Mel. What's your favorite Bible translation?
The Bible translation I currently use is the 1984 NIV. I like most of what I see of ESV. I'm a little less crazy about NIV's changes over the years. One of my pet peeves is that both NIV and ESV are considering themselves sufficiently dynamic to make changes as they go along. That bothers me, because it discourages scripture memory. If I'm looking for study, I am a New American Standard fan. I think it's a good, faithful, literal translation. But I cut my teeth on the King James. And there are verses I memorized, you memorize in King James, and then you try and re-memorize in another version, and then you re-memorize in another version, and it gets all mixed up. Other questions? Yes.
Mine is just a functional one. What is going to be the best way for us to contact you if midweek we...
Thank you.
Talk to you.
Thank you. Session has defined this position as a two-thirds time position. And part of what that means is that there'll be an occasional Sunday when you don't see me. There'll be an occasional Sunday when you do see me and I'm not preaching. It also means that there's some stuff that happens in the life of the church that I won't be doing that Nick did. And that means you need to pray more for Jenny and for the elders. How to contact me? Because I don't plan to sit in the office waiting for you to call. email or a phone call to our home. The home number actually is better than my cell number because where we live, my cell sometimes rings and sometimes doesn't. But if I'm not home and you leave a voicemail at home, I will get a message on my cell that you have left a voicemail, and I'll be able to check it. So calling at home and leaving, if I'm not there, leaving a message with Valerie or recording a message on voicemail works. Email works. I usually check it multiple times during the day. I don't tweet. I do text.
In addition to our prayers for the body and for you, is there, what else would you desire of us in this community?
Be and do all that God wants you to be. The last thing in the world I would want to do is get in the way of what God wants to do in your life. My task is to facilitate that as much as I can, to help you. Listen to him and do what he says. Feedback is good. Feedback is welcome. I know I'm going to be doing things differently than Nick did. I know some of that may be good and some of it may be uncomfortable. Let me know what you like and what you don't. Nick?
Do you like drop-by visits?
Pardon?
Do you like us to drop in at your house?
Sure. We love having visitors. It's always safest to call and make sure we're there. Because quite a bit we're not.
And bring money for it, right?
Nor if we don't want to answer the door, we'll just hide out now.
Seattle.
Pardon?
What brought you to Seattle?
What brought me to Seattle? The call of a church I was pastoring. I was pastor of a church in Skyway for 15 years.
What was the name of the church?
The name of the church was Calvary Evangelical Free Church. The building is still there. The name is not.
What are your hobbies? Or what have they been in the past?
One of my hobbies. While I'm doing this, surviving, I'm an avid reader. Mysteries are good. Valerie and I enjoy travel, getting out on the road a little bit too. I am a puzzle fan. I'm told I need some more active hobbies. I would not call the exercise bike a hobby, but it's there.
Do you use it?
Occasionally.
Okay.
Occasionally. Thank you for asking the same questions my cardiologist asks.
Did you pastor before you came to Calgary? To Seattle?
Yes, pastored for 9 years in the California Bay Area. In a community. Any of you speak Spanish? Name of the community was El Sobrante. What does it mean? The leftover. It was the butt of a joke of every visiting Spanish-speaking missionary that came to the church. We were leftover Evangelical Free Church. The name of the area actually dated back to the Rancho days of California, when it formed a buffer zone between three adjacent Rancho areas. It was leftover area. A good ministry there.
What's the town called now?
Pardon?
What is the town called now?
It's still called El Sobrante. The church is now called Bay Hills Community Church. And I'm blessed that under its current pastor, who's been there probably 20 years now, has grown by leaps and bounds. It's good to see that kind of blessing. Well, I could go on with this forever, but if we do that, we'll never get into the Word together, which we need to do. However, before we quit this, isn't this fun? I want to keep doing this. But I want to do it with some of you instead of me. Because I have discovered that in churches, we all know each other, sort of.
Yes.
But we need to take some time to listen to each other's spiritual journeys. What's the journey God's taken you on? And I would just love to use some of this time we have together on Sunday mornings to ask a few of you that question and let you share. What has God done in your life? What do you see Him doing? And maybe how can we pray for you? Fair enough?
Scary.
Not scary. We can do this interview format. And, you know, if I ask a question that's tough, you just look me in the eye and you say, "None of your business." But please don't. Please don't. God is good. And you know, it's important to remember, particularly in this season for us at Foster, that while it's our church, it's not about us. It's not about Malcolm. It's not about Nick. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus.